Sunday in my church, we have a number of public Bible readings, from first lesson, second lesson, some appointed for the service, to the epistles reading. Now, when I'm not distracting myself by whispering something to my wife's ear, I pay attention to these readings and I learn a lesson or two. At home, I share these lessons with my family. And on Sunday Lesson Podcast, I document these lessons for future reference and for anyone who cares to get them. Hello and welcome to Sunday Lessons Podcast. I am Brother IJ. In continuation on our lessons from Numbers 22, from verse 1 to 35, we are going to read verse 6 now. In verse 6, for context, this whole thing started when Balaam started trying to send a message to Balak to come and help him fight the people of Israel who he claimed are threatening him. And so this is what the Bible says from verse 4. The king of Moab said to the elders of Midian, "This mob will devour everything in sight like an ox devours grass in the field." So Balak, king of Moab, sent messengers to call Balaam, son of Beor, who was living in his native land of Petor, near Euphrates River. His message said, "Look, a vast horde of people has arrived from Egypt. They cover the face of the earth and they are threatening me. Come and curse these people for me because they are too powerful for me. Then perhaps I will be able to conquer them and drive them from the land. I know that blessings fall on anybody you bless and curses fall on anybody you curse." So that is Balaam's first line of action in trying to fight the people of Israel. You see, one thing I saw in Balaam is a man who is really strategic and smart. I also saw in him a man who wants to protect his people as a king. So he understands that the people of Israel are coming, they are very powerful. And as a matter of fact, they can actually drive him out of his land. And he knows it's a valid thing that it has happened before, it can happen to him. So what he decided to do is that he knew he has to fight them. But he also acknowledged something. He said, "Please come and curse these people for me because they are too powerful for me." Now, this is a man who saw people who are too powerful for him, but he didn't give up and say, "No, well, I'm going to put my hands down." He understands these people are superior to him, but he didn't say, "Well, I'm not doing anything." So no matter what I also learned from him, no matter how much power you have, how much power of God is at work in you, grace of God that is functional in your life, it does not stop devil from fighting. It doesn't stop those who want to fight from fighting. What they just do is that they start asking themselves, "How do I deal with this fellow? What strategy do I deploy in fighting this one to a standstill? In driving him away so he doesn't take over my land?" Now, I don't understand the kind of battle you'll be fighting, but then of course you can find the application for these things in your own scenario. But the lesson here is very simple. This guy said, "These guys are too powerful for me. This group of people are too powerful for me, and I'm going to deal with them. How do I deal with them?" And that brings me to the next lesson, which is that curse weakens the strong. Now, this guy knows that these guys are too powerful, more powerful than him, too powerful for him to even handle them. And he said, "How do I get power over these people who are more powerful than me?" And he said to them, "Please come and curse these people for me. They are too powerful for me." Now notice something. He said, "Then," that is after you are done with placing a curse on them, "perhaps I will be able to conquer them and drive them out of the land." Whether you like it or not, the people of Israel are powerful. They were powerful then. There's still some degree of powerfulness they have even today. This is 2023. And we understand they are not powerful just because of their number. They are not just powerful because of their military power. They are powerful because God is their God, their warrior and their defender. They are powerful because God is on their side. They are powerful because God is the one fighting on their behalf. They are powerful because, like we saw in the previous passage, God said to Moses, "I've handed over these people in your hands. Therefore, go and tackle them." And we saw that when Moses heard those words from God, he went around to fight and he was able to kill a king, his subject, and everyone who is related to them. That's how much of power Balaam understands the people of Israel have. So someone can look at you, understand that truly you are powerful, Understand that the God beside you is really a powerful God. Understand that there's no way you could have made the progress you are making in life without God on your side. And he feels threatened by the progress you are making. Because in the course of this, your progress, you will rise so high, you become the head of that organization and you'll be able to enforce righteousness. In the course of this, you will rise, you will become so good. The person does not want you to become so good. Out of envy or jealousy, or if he's the only one that should be ahead, you understand that as you rise like this, you suddenly become the governor of a state or president. And then you will be able to stop the work of darkness where he's benefiting from. He said, no, I'm not going to allow this. He understand that when you rise, as you go up higher in life, you become so powerful that you actually take over a sphere of this country, a sphere of this life, and you enforce righteousness, and the evil the benefit is deriving from the rot and the evil in the land will come to an end. So you say, how do I deal with this powerful person? He called a man who is a specialist in placing curses on people. He has expertise in placing curses on people. He has track record of success in placing curses on people. Because he said that, I know that you are the person who, when you place a curse on a man, the person is cursed. And when it's a blessing you place on a man, that person is blessed. He said, come and do this assignment for me. Please, there's something that struck me in that particular person. He said, when you do this, then I will be able to conquer them. He understands that without that curse, he can't do anything. Let me explain something to you here from that particular instance. Curses are real, in case you don't know. Like when they say people are under a curse, it's actually real. And curses are not just curses because they are something our grandfather did. No, they are really powerful spiritual forces. Just for clarity, this life is really controlled by the spiritual. It's not really what is here on the surface, including advancement in technology. That's not our focus today, but just understand it, that this life is literally controlled by spiritual forces. And Balaam, being a person who understands spiritual operation, called this guy to say, please help me place a curse on this person. See, when a curse is working on your case, on your life, on a people, they can struggle, they can work hard, they can do everything, but nothing yields for them. And that will be because there's a curse that is working on their life. And Balaam understands this. He understands that when these were cursed successfully, the God who is protecting them will withdraw. He understands that when these were successfully cursed, the power they have will get weakened. And then when they engage in a battle, he will win. He understood that they are not strong because they have military power. They are strong because there's a blessing working on them that gives them ability to win everywhere, succeed in everything, and become who people look at them and say they can be. So he tell them, please, I beg, just let me place a curse on these people. Then that power they have would disappear. Then I'll be able to take care of them. The lesson here is very simple. No matter how strong and powerful I am to thee, this boy, if you have Satan successfully able to place a curse that is actually working in your life, he will be able to weaken you. No matter how powerful, strong, thriving people are, if a curse begin to work on their lives, work on their effort, work in their community, work in their environment, they become weak, even though physically they were powerful in the past. And that is actually a curse to actually sit down and reflect on my life and ask myself, this boy, the way you are going, are you sure you are not introducing curse in your life? Are you not welcoming curses in your life? Are you not exposing yourself where a curse will become operational in your life? You become weak so that the devil will be able to play with you, so that those who want you dead can deal with you. I'm asking myself the question, and I implore you to do likewise. So curses are real, they are operational, and they are powerful. When a curse is placed upon a man like Gehazi, he will give birth to children, and those children will have leprosy, not because of predisposition to the causative agent of leprosy, but because there is a spiritual genetic modification that produces leprous children because the guy is under a curse. In the same way, even though there are good Medicare in that environment, they will say this one has become incurable. It's become a variant of leprosy that can be cured. That's how doctors will explain it. In the same way, when a curse is working on a man because God has withdrawn his blessing upon that man will labor, will go for battle and be defeated, even though his enemies are fewer and weaker in military prowess. So you understand that curses actually weakens the strong. And what it tells us is that we have to be careful that we don't position ourselves in where curses will begin to work in our life. that actions actually trigger causes. I may not be able to discuss all of that at this point. But just understand that one of those things the Bible says that cursed is in the house of a thief. So if you're a thief, no matter what kind of theft it is you commit, no matter the format, no matter the name, just understand there's a curse in your life. So Balaam will not need to call Balak on your case. You are the one calling Balak on your case and say, curse, please come upon me. Do you understand that? So that's just an example of a case where curse is operational in a man's life. So you have to be careful too that you are not the one introducing curses in your life. And peradventure you have to introduce curse in your life. Please understand that there is Jesus Christ who died on the cross. He died to save you from the consequence of your sin. There is redemption that's available for you in Christ. No matter the evil you committed, your parents committed, the moment you run into Christ, in recognition that he is God's payment for your sin, repentance from your sin and the sins of your ancestors, and accepting him to be the Lord and controller of your life. I mean, your savior from sin and control of your life. What happens is that the effect and force of that curse become less, or even dead, becomes dead, non-functional and non-active in your life, because he's one who redeems us from the curses of sin. However, I want to just clarify this in two. Please be careful you don't feel you're under a curse when you're not really under a curse. There are people that are going to see you on the road and say it will not be well with you. They are just blabbing. You know why I say that blabbing? The Bible says that a curse without a cause, that is placing a curse on a person without a basis for it, without the person deserving of it, it does not alight. It's useless. So be careful that you don't carry yourself as if you're under a curse when you're not under any curse. The point about this is very simple. There are things we do that produce curses in our life. Just sin generally produces a curse in your life. And repentance from that sin, from the position of faith in Christ Jesus, is what redeems you and brings you back to the place of blessing. And I'm telling you today, no matter what your fathers did, you please just note that your hope of redemption, so that the balm in your life will not use you to do pepper soup, is that you run into Christ in repentance from your sin and the commitment to follow Christ for the rest of your life. That is where redemption is, because without that, no matter how strong you are in academic qualification, strong in intellectual prowess, strong in rich background, Satan is going to use you to play. By the time you have been weakened by the curses coming upon your life by your action, we may not read to that portion, but eventually you'll find that to be able to place a curse on these people, he needed to place them in a position where a curse would be able to alight on them. And that was when the people of Israel were lured into sexual sin with the Moabites. And God said, no, my guys, when you do like this, you predispose yourself where you can be cursed. Point I'm trying to make is this: curses are real. They are powerful. And they weaken the powerful and the strong. If you don't want to be weakened, please don't place yourself in a position where a curse become operational in your life. And peradventure, in your mistakes, you have done that. Please, there is redemption for you in Christ Jesus. And you activate that redemption by running into him in repentance from your sin and asking him to save you and take over as the Lord. The Lord is a controller, the dictator of your life. What you do and don't do, can do or cannot do, where you can go and where you cannot go, what you can wear or cannot wear, what you are allowed to think and what you cannot think. When you do that, you will position yourself where, like the Bible says in Colossians, you'll be translated from the kingdom of darkness, where causes are operational, where generational causes are operational, to the kingdom of his dear son. In that place, you are a new creature. All things are passed away. What is happening to you has nothing to do with cause. It has to do between you, your responsibility or responsibility, and the Lord your God. Do you understand my point? So essentially what the guy did was that he said, please help me place a curse on these people. Now, what happened after that? That's a lesson we'll be sharing with you in the next episode. You just listened to an episode of my podcast. More episodes, blog posts, and books are available for free download on broij.com. Your feedback and questions are welcome through hello@broij.com or 0806-3967-498 on WhatsApp. To get snippets of my Bible notes on the go, follow me across social media platforms @TheBroIJ.